Well, as a dad, I feel like I've been there 100 times. Especially as my kids were younger, it would be late evening. The kids were in bed, but not asleep. They were unsettled. Maybe a bad dream that woke them up. Maybe afraid of the dark. Maybe anxious about something that was happening the next day. Maybe they were just feeling incredibly alone. And I would go into their room and I would listen to their fears. And then instinctively, I would respond to them by telling them why they did not need to be afraid. I would give them persuasive, convincing reasons why those fears were ungrounded and unreasonable. Well, of course, that never worked. And they would reply by saying, "Dad, could you just stay here with me? Dad, could you just stay with me?" They didn't want advice or tips on how to fall asleep. They didn't want an explanation of why their fears weren't legitimate. They wanted, in a word, presence. The presence of someone who loves them, who knows them, who cares for them, who will be with them. And when I would say them, it would just seem like a matter of moments before those fears would subside, those anxieties were calmed, and they'd be sleeping. And maybe as adults, we're no different. Don't we too experience fear and anxiety that sometimes keeps us awake at night? Don't we sometimes feel isolated, a terrible feeling of being alone? And in those moments, we don't need an explanation. We don't need self-help. We need the presence of somebody who we know is with us and will stick with us, no matter what. Where do we find that presence? Well, this morning we're going to read Psalm 23 to take a look at the gift of presence that we are offered. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of this psalm, and we're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to invite you to read it if you're comfortable with me. We'll read it together. So now, this is God's word. Let's read it together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Pray with me. So, living God, we once again turn to your word, and we believe that these words are for us. Though they be ancient words from a song thousands of years ago, they speak to us. They bring life to us. They transform us. So we've come to your word to meet you, living God, in your word. Open our eyes and our hearts to encounter you once again, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this summer, we here at 10th, we are walking through the Psalms. Did you know that the Psalms are songs? And as we're looking at 10 different Psalms this summer, we are reminded that these are actually the songs that Jesus sang and listened to and shaped Jesus. And I don't know if any of you are going on a road trip, but if you are, you will probably put together a playlist. And you know that when you get into those songs, after a while, the songs get into you. And you begin to sing them. And they begin to resonate with emotions that you might be feeling. And so this morning, we are going to press play on Psalm 23. a very familiar psalm. And in the Psalms, what we discover is that the Psalms give us the full range of human emotion. Everything from despair to delight and everything in between. And yet in the Psalms, we also discover the full scope of God's goodness, of his character, of his promises, of his attributes. And so these two things come together in the Psalms. We're going to explore a very familiar psalm, perhaps one of the most famous and well-known passages of Scripture in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. And maybe if you're hearing it for the first time, what I want you to know is that this psalm is so comprehensive. If you're, I don't know where you're at, but if you're needing some hope, if you're needing some assurance, some confidence this morning, this psalm is here for you. But maybe I've heard this psalm 1,000 times before. And so for those of us with whom this psalm is very familiar, we have to ask the question, it may be familiar, but is it foundational? Is it actually, are the truths of this psalm actually affecting us at an emotional level? Are they affecting our anxieties and our fears when we reflect on this? Has it moved from interesting thoughts in our heads to foundational truth in our hearts? Because when this psalm begins to take root in our hearts, I believe that it leads us to be able to say three things, and we're going to explore these briefly this morning. The first thing that this psalm enables us to say is this, that I am not alone. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. That is written by David, who is familiar with what it meant to be a shepherd, because he actually literally was a shepherd. He took care of sheep as a kid. And he's drawing on a metaphor of us as sheep. Now, in my recent pilgrimage through southern France, I got to see a lot of sheep. I think there's a picture here I have of one of those days. One black sheep on the right, one black sheep on the left of that picture there. Had a little visit from the hair fairy that day. So what do we know about sheep? What anybody want to offer? What do you know about sheep? If David is saying the Lord is my shepherd, he's using the metaphor as we are sheep. Anyone want to just volunteer, throw out some things you know about sheep? They what? They follow. Who do they follow? Okay, we're getting ahead. It's like point three in my sermon. Thanks. Thanks, Jason. It's going to be a short sermon. Okay, so maybe the most defining, you know, some people say that sheep are stupid, that they're really unintelligent. Probably true. I think there's probably more made out of that than should be, but the thing about sheep more than anything else is they're helpless. They're utterly dependent on the shepherd for their existence. A sheep can't survive one day without the care and the attention and the provision of a shepherd. This David is saying, if we can grasp this metaphor of what it means to be a sheep, then we will know the joy of knowing God as our shepherd, as our provider, our protector, the one who actually sustains us and keeps us alive. Now, this idea of a metaphor of an animal, this is not something new. In fact, most nations, as a part of their national identity, have a bird or an animal that they choose to represent them. That's a way of self-identifying. So, for example, we have these three animals. Can anybody tell me what countries have chosen these as their symbols of national identity? The first one on the left, easy one. The United States, okay? Look at that mean look in that eagle's eyes, okay? Don't read too much into that. I just noticed that. What about the middle one, the bear? Okay, there could be more. I know Russia is one that chooses the bear. And what about the far right, the lion? Okay, so I heard a bunch of mumbling just now. I don't know what to make of that. The UK, for sure. There's actually about 15 or 20 countries that claim the lion as their national animal. What does these pictures suggest? Well, it's a symbol of strength, of independence, of power. Maybe it subtly suggests, like, don't mess with us. We're strong. Sharp talons and sharp teeth. And then there's that national symbol which strikes fear into everyone who ever sees it, which is really terrifying and intimidating. Do we have that next slide? The national symbol of Canada. I know that's a scared laughter. I know that is. I don't know what this is supposed to say about Canadians. Wow, we are so industrious and hardworking and diligent. And hey, don't mess with us or we'll build a dam. Or so, I don't know what this is suggesting. But to go back to the psalm, David is saying, here's what the most accurate picture of our character and our nature is, that we are sheep. We are utterly dependent. We're vulnerable. We're helpless. We're actually needy. This isn't the most flattering of metaphors. There's a part of Psalm 23 that is actually, somebody said before, this is a psalm of comfort, it's a psalm of humility. It's a psalm that offends us. It offends our sensibilities because no one wants to be thought of as needy, as weak. No, we say, hey, I'm not dependent on anyone. I don't need a shepherd. I don't need God. I'm fine on my own. I am my own shepherd, thank you very much. And so we cling to this illusion of control, of independence, of strength. And the result is that we're just, at the end of the day, pretty lonely. 69% of millennials and Gen Z people reported of saying that they feel like people around them are not really with them, that no one really knows them very well. This would be anyone from age roughly 15 to 38. Just an epidemic of isolation and of loneliness, that I can have thousands of followers and friends on social media from all over the world. I'm hyper-connected. I can be in a room of hundreds of people, and yet I feel like nobody really knows me, that I'm alone. And in contrast, David says, when we embrace this identity of being a sheep, of being dependent on God, we will know the comfort of his presence, that the Lord is my shepherd. There was a pastor who was previously a shepherd, an actual shepherd who took care of sheep, named Phil Keller. And he talks about living in Africa, and during years of a grinding depression, he invested all of his money in 30 sheep. And he talks about how he was buying them. He says, I was buying them with my hard-earned cash, and I felt in a special way that they were a part of me, and I was a part of them. It was an intimate connection and identity. They were exceedingly precious to me. And Keller goes on to say, I knew that if I was in this for the long haul, which I was, if they were going to flourish, I would have to give them endless attention and meticulous care. So when we cling to these identities of being independent and strong, we're alone. And yet when we embrace this humbling but good news that we are sheep, that we are actually made dependent upon God, that we need God, that we're helpless. Jesus one day looked out over the crowds and it said he was filled with compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and helpless. Friends, here's the good news is when we know the Lord is our shepherd, we know that we are never alone. That whether through the valleys or the mountaintops, he will never leave us. A good shepherd never abandons his sheep. Jesus one day walked in to Jerusalem and said, I am the good shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. We are chosen. We're bought with a price. We are named. And we can know that whatever we are experiencing, that we are not alone. Well, second, this psalm tells us not only the good news that we can declare I'm not alone, but it tells us that I am never lost. Not only am I not alone because the Lord is my shepherd, but I am not lost. Listen to verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Of course, at one obvious level, if we carry through the metaphor, we know that the shepherd, a good shepherd, is always leading his flock to fresh water, to still water, and to green pastures. Why does he do that? Because did you know that sheep actually are unable to find water on their own? They're unable to find green pastures. They are so utterly helpless, they need to be led almost step by step. Here's a description of some sheep and see if this rings true. When you think about yourself or you think about friends, family members, you think about the human condition in the broadest sense. As sheep are prone to wander, that they often get lost. They're often drifting, wandering, disoriented, confused. Can't tell you how many times I meet with people who feel adrift and confused and lost. And they don't know what they don't seem to have a sense of purpose. Which path should I be taking? And they're balancing expectations of parents and their own internal drives and the expectations of their culture or their workplace, and they feel lost and they're confused. And they don't know which way to step forward. Perhaps some of us today might feel overwhelmed, anxious with choices. We run through our mind 1,000 what ifs as we look at the future. And friends, very simply, we come back to this psalm and we realize that we don't have the whole master plan laid in front of us. All we're offered is a good shepherd who says he will lead us to exactly what we need. Sometimes in my life I have prayed, God, could you just lay out the whole master plan for my life? You ever prayed this? Like, could you just show me, you know, just lay it all out, the entire master plan. Give me a map for my entire life. And yet experience in this psalm tells us that we don't get that. We don't get a map. We get something better. We get a guide. The Lord does not offer you a master plan or a map for your life. He offers to be your guide. He says, I will lead you to the next step. I will lead you to my good through with my good purposes to exactly what you need for today. Sometimes that produces a lot of anxiety in us. We want to know the whole future plan. One person put it this way. He said that anxiety is worrying about tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. that when the Lord is our shepherd, when we know the Lord is our shepherd, we are not filled with anxiety. We might feel anxious, but we don't camp out there. We don't live there because we know that our shepherd is good and will lead us to exactly what we need tomorrow. This means that we can step out with a sense of healthy confidence. We can take risks. We know that if we're going off track, the good shepherd will redirect us. There's a prayer that I keep coming back to because it's honest and it's meaningful. It's by Thomas Merton, and it goes like this: "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it." Friends, is there a place in your life where you need to be reminded that the Lord is your shepherd and that he is guiding you? Is there anxiety? Is there fear about tomorrow, about the future? Is there a decision before you? And can these very foundational words of knowing that you're not lost, if you know the good shepherd, if you know the Lord is your shepherd, then you are not lost. Because you can say with confidence, he is giving me today what I need. And tomorrow I trust that he will give me exactly what I need. And I'm not gonna live in fear or anxiety for tomorrow. Well, finally, this Psalm 23 tells us one other thing that I believe we can say. It follows from the other two. When the Lord is our shepherd, we know that we're not alone. We know that we're not lost, and so we can declare by faith, I am not afraid. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when I walk through the darkest of places and the darkest of experiences, you are with me. I will fear no evil. Of course, the metaphor was that sheep would be led sometimes through dark valleys. I'm told that some of these canyons, I mean, they have walls surrounding that could be 800 feet high, that it was utter darkness except for maybe a few hours right around noontime, maybe a few minutes around noontime. That in the valley were where the predators lived and lurked. Wolves, mountain lions, coyotes. This was a dangerous place to be taking animals that were vulnerable, that were defenseless. It was terrifying. And I'm sure that when the sheep started to be led through those dark valleys, they started to question the shepherd. When the shepherd leads us through the dark valleys, we are tempted to say the shepherd has no idea what they're doing. The shepherd is evil. The shepherd is foolish. The shepherd doesn't care about me. That's what it feels like when you're in the dark valley. The shepherd has abandoned me. But the shepherd knows that in order to get to the water, the water doesn't rest on top of the mountains. It sinks down to the valleys. And the shepherd knows that sometimes to lead the flock to green pastures, it requires going through this scary place. This is part of life, isn't it? Walking through the dark valleys. Maybe you're walking through a valley of a conflict. a dark valley of conflict in your relationships. Maybe you're walking through a valley of failure in your work or in your studies. Those are difficult places to be. Maybe you're walking through a valley of illness. BC Lion quarterback Mike Riley is one of the stars of the CFL. He was recently voted as the toughest player in the CFL by his peers. And Mike Riley is used to 300-pound linemen coming and hitting him lying on his back. But something happened to Mike Riley about a year and a half ago that he revealed this week in an article. He said that about a year and a half ago, he was blindsided by something that he never saw coming, by wave after wave of anxiety, of panic attacks. He had no idea what to do. He said that these attacks began to own him, that he thought they would threaten his football career. You and I are going to have seasons of walking through valleys that are unexpected, that we don't see coming, that are scary. And in those valleys, we don't need self-help. We don't need advice. We don't need reasons why our fears are ungrounded. We need a shepherd who is with us in the valley. The darkest of all valleys is the valley of the shadow of death. And sooner or later, this shadow is going to fall across your life. You know, earlier this week, I had breakfast with a member of our community who is reeling, is devastated, is in profound grief because one of his lifelong friends, one of his closest friends, was cycling last weekend, was going up Burnaby Mountain, was hit by an SUV, and was instantly killed. And this 53-year-old gentleman leaves behind a wife and two young kids under five. And he leaves behind so many family and friends who are shocked and are reeling and are struggling to make sense of this. And in those very vulnerable places, in those scary places, you don't need simple answers. You don't need advice. You don't need reasons why not to fear. Friends, in the valley of the shadow of death, you need the presence of a good shepherd. A good shepherd who you can cry out to and say, I feel lost and I feel alone and I don't know why I'm in this place, but I believe that you are good. And so I cling to your goodness. I trust you. Though this experience is awful, I trust you. I trust you that you are not leading me into a dark valley to die, but you are leading me through the dark valley. Even death for a follower of Christ is not the end. It is the gateway to something else, to the life to come, to God's good purposes realized in our lives. Friends, when we get a hold of this psalm and we say, even in the darkest of valleys, God, I believe your purposes are good, but more than that, I believe that you are with me in the valley. It makes a difference. Phil Keller, the shepherd turned pastor, talks about every night as he was caring for his flock, he would sleep with two things by his side. One was his border collie, and one was his rifle. I guess this is the modern equivalent of the rod and the staff. And he slept with the dog and the rifle by his side, and when he would hear his flock being restless at night, maybe they sensed a wolf was on the prowl. There was some kind of danger. They were unsettled. They would not rest. He would walk out there with his border collie and his rifle. And here's what he writes. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. Friends, here's what we are called to remember, what we're called to pray, what we're called to sing, even if it's by faith. We say, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Do we feel fear? Of course we do. But the psalmist is saying we don't live in fear. We don't camp out in fear. We don't let it take over our lives and wallow in it. We choose to trust in the Savior, the shepherd. But let me conclude with sharing a story that my friend Dan Whitehead. Dan has preached here a number of times, and I think will be with us later this summer. He was telling me when he was 16 years old, he was playing soccer with a group of friends one evening. And two gentlemen who were older, 19 or 20, approached them. They were drunk, and they were up to no good. They were trying to pick a fight with Dan and his friends. They singled out Dan because he was the biggest, and they started to taunt him. And in that place, which was quite fearful for Dan, something completely unexpected happened. Around the corner walked a man and his dog. It was Dan's dad and their Doberman Pinscher. They had no idea what was going on. They were just going for an evening walk and stumbled onto this. And the Doberman was so excited to see Dan that he started pulling at the leash in such an excited way. And this absolutely terrified the two 19 and 20-year-olds. They were scared. Dan says the irony of it is that is the most gentle and friendliest Doberman you could ever meet. But they didn't know that. And this dog played the part well, looked the part well. And one of them just took off running. The other one fell to his knees and said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I promise I won't do something like this again. Just don't beat me up. Don't let the dog loose on me. I'm sorry. And Dan's dad didn't know really what was going on and just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And Dan and his dad and the dog walked home. And Dan said, it was the singular most satisfying moment of my entire teenage years. Real fear, and yet the presence of someone strong. I don't know who was stronger, the dad or the dog, but the presence of someone who knew Dan, who loved Dan, was watching out for Dan, who came upon the scene. Something about their presence dissipated all the fears, and it changed everything. And friends, whatever we encounter, when we remember and pray, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He is with me in the deepest and darkest valleys. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need to fear. I am not afraid. So the question that remains for us today is, do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Do you know it not in an intellectual way, but in a way that actually transforms you, in a way that alleviates your anxieties and your fears? That in the midst of those very natural fears, we don't camp out there, but we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Because you are with me, I will not be afraid. Thomas Merton ends his prayer we read earlier before with these words, therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Pray with me. Lord, we long to know you as our shepherd, as a good shepherd. Jesus, we confess that we know these words, and yet They have not become foundational in our lives. They have not affected us emotionally. And so, Jesus, this morning we offer to you our fears, our anxieties. We acknowledge them before you. And friends, just let me invite you in this moment to offer up to God what it is that you're fearing. What anxieties are present in your heart and mind. Take a moment to offer that to God, to acknowledge that before him. And Lord, we declare now by faith that we will fear no evil because you are with us. You are our shepherd. And because of that, we have everything that we need. Amen.